now that you're here, would you rather a long service to justify the fact that you braved coming out, or would you rather a shorter service knowing that snow probably is coming? Actually, we won't take a vote on that, but I'll do my best to be expedient this morning. I think we'll be able to get you out of here by about 11:30. If you need to go before that, then go with God just without His blessing. No, just kidding, just kidding. We want to welcome all of those of you that are live streaming it today. Hello, everybody. Nice to see you all. Can we give a warm welcome to those that could not be with us this morning? But I am really thankful that all of you are here today, and just so thrilled that you would be here. I hope you had a good day. Some of you look a little plumper. Just saying. You had a good Thanksgiving. My pants were, I was like, I thought I had a bigger size than this, but a little bit of a struggle today. But I hope you had a really good Turkey Day, that it was a great time with family and friends, that you caught some moments to rest, to catch up with some people, to catch up on rest, and really praying for an incredible Christmas season for each and every one of you. How many of you can identify with this, that there are some times in your life that you have been sold out by some people? How many of you have ever been placed in a pit? How many of you have ever waited seemingly unnecessarily for God to move? How many of you find it sometimes hard to forgive? We've had some times where you've had to choose that in faith, a dream that God has given to you, that at one point in time, at some point in time, it will come to be your destiny. God is wanting you to dream again. If there's nothing that you have gained out of this sermon series, and today is the dramatic conclusion, we will say goodbye to Old Testament Joseph for a time. This is our 12th week in this series, with a one-week interruption for missions conventions. So 13 weeks ago, we started this series. And I want you to see that regardless of whatever you are going through, whatever you're paying right now, whatever is taking place in your life that has now eclipsed the dream, that God is faithful to His promises, He is faithful to His character, His providence in your life, that in the right season, the dream that He has authored will come to fruition. I believe it over your life. Not because it's anything that I believe. It's not an idle mantra. It's not if you say it three times fast. It is according to the principle of the Word of God over your life. As we come to our conclusion today, we're going to Marie Kondo Joseph and just kind of thank you, and we'll say goodbye to him for a time. I want you to go right to the end of his story. The story is found in Genesis 37 through 50. I want you to go right to the end of it with me. For in this verse that you'll see, and I'm just going to use one verse, and I'm going to retell another portion that's two chapters earlier in 40, and I'm going to retell that in a few moments. But in Genesis chapter 50, verse 21, it's the linchpin of the entire story of Joseph. And this statement comes, it's the second time that he says this. Earlier, I believe it's in chapter 42, he says it when he first sees his brothers for the first time. And his brothers are the ones that sell him out. They're the ones that place him in a pit. They're the ones that believe that his dreams might come to pass. And so they snuff him out. They pretend to their dad that he is dead. They believe they'll never see him again. Unbeknownst to them, Joseph keeps getting promoted, even to the point of being prime minister in a foreign land, in a culture not his own, with a language not his own, an ideology not his own. Joseph just keeps getting promoted, to the point that Joseph's brothers, during a time of famine, literally have to come to Joseph to be able to make it. They literally have to ask for grain, for food. They bow down to him, thereby fulfilling the dream. In fact, they do that four different times. They bow down to him, fulfilling the dream that God has. But here's the thing. God wanted Joseph's dream not to be about himself, not about what was happening to him. God wanted him to know the dreams were going through him to be sent ahead for other people. Then dad dies. How many of you know that oftentimes in families, dad holds it all together? He's the patriarch of sorts. And in this family, the brothers are fearful that although he has forgiven them one time after their dramatic reunion, after dad dies, they collectively go, oh no, what if he's not going to forgive us any longer? What if he's going to judge us rather than be merciful? What if he's going to bring wrath? What if he's forgetful of his loving kindness? And so they come to him and they speak to him. And Joseph has this reply back. Genesis 50 verse 21 helps us with it. He says, write to them, Joseph, write to his brothers. As for you, you meant evil against me. Let's not sugarcoat it. but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. I want you to, if you're on your sermon notes in the app, I want you to make a note there. If you're going old school with me on paper, that's what my notes are today, are the paper copy. I want you to circle or note the bring it about. For the bring it about literally means this, to be sent ahead. And there are certain places in your life, hear me on this, there are certain places in your life that you have been sent ahead out of your pain, ahead out of those places that you are. Another way to say it is this. You may have heard of the New Testament character. He's the first character really that pops on the scene, named John the Baptist. If you've ever heard of John the Baptist, he's born 6 months before Jesus is born into earth. As he is born, there's this declaration over him. Here's why he is being born. To prepare the way for Jesus, to be sent ahead in advance of Jesus. You all have the same mission and ministry. Are you aware of that? That even in your present pain, the difficulties that you have that are seemingly undone, God is wanting you to find your own fruitfulness and effectiveness by being sent ahead into the situations that other people may find themselves. Does that make sense to anyone today? So please understand that even in your own pain, it enriches your story. It's not God trying to be cruel to you, but in his kindness, he's not wanting just you to be led to repentance. He's wanting in his kindness, you to be sent out ahead. You are now the sent ones. Even as you wait for the destination of your dreams, even as you wait for the true measure of the fullness of what God wants to do, in that in-between time, God is wanting you to be sent ahead. How many of you are aware of that? Here's the rub. Too often, we wait until everything is perfect. When I'm feeling better. When I have finances in order. When my marriage is right, when I become a model family, we fill in all these conditions, and if we become so conditionally driven, none of us will ever be sent ahead until we're just sent straight to heaven. It'll never happen for us. So I want you to know today, you are now sent ahead. Here's why. Because in the pain that you may have, and you're still dealing with it perhaps, the difficulties that you have where you've been left wanting, or certain places that haven't gone the way that you would have scripted them, there is no fruitfulness without first forgiveness. And last week we camped out on that, and I'll not belabor the point today, but to use it as a slingshot to get where we need to go this morning. There is no fruitfulness without forgiveness. Do you know what that means? That means that in the places that people have done you wrong, you need your own but God. Yeah, that was evil. You're evil. Get out of my house. Oh, sorry, you live with me. Maybe you can't get out of my house. In all those places that you have found that it's been a struggle, God wants you first to forgive so that fruitfulness will happen within your life. Do you believe that that's possible? That regardless of what has taken place, God still wants to bring his fertile soil into your life. He will water it. He will bring his sun once again. That the rain that seems to be falling on the just and the unjust, God is using it ideally for his abundance over you. That's what God wants to do. So it's further illustrated this way. That fruitfulness is only if we abide in him. In fact, one way to say it is, that in the New Testament scripture, we see this incredible phrase Jesus declares of himself over your life. I am the bread of life. Scripture says in another way, in the Lord's Prayer, give us today our, help me, daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. We need to be okay with each day asking for him to come into our lives, for him to satisfy, him to fulfill our needs. Now listen, unless you're sopping up some sauce, you'd rather have fresh bread than crusty bread. And God wants to bring that into your life, that fresh aroma of his presence, abiding in him as the bread of life, the only one that will satisfy, provide, and nourish over your life, so that the nourishment will bring a flourishing into your life. Because he also illustrates himself, he declares of himself, I am the true vine. He says, abide in me, right in the center of who I am, abide in me. Otherwise, you will have a root of bitterness that is there. You'll be sour and bitter rather than sweet and better. Let me say that again. If you don't resolve that, if you don't abide with him, abide in him, be centered with him, you will be bitter and sour rather than better and sweet. And God wants you to know that if you taste and see that He is good, He doesn't leave a sour taste in our mouths. You haven't fully understood who He is over your life if you still think that what He offers is sour. So abide in Him and abide near Him, closest to Him, because the best, the choice fruit is closest to the vine. So, let's do it this way. Genesis chapter 41, there's this incredible story about in the midst of Joseph's pain. How many of you remember that Joseph had a lot of pain? And every time he makes a move, everything actually worsens for him. How many of you are aware of that part of the story? Somebody say they remember that. Somebody. Even if it wasn't from these sermons, just in your own casual reading or another sermon at another point in time. Genesis 41, God shows up on Joseph's behalf. And it says, in the midst of his pain, God comes and He gives him a wife. Didn't add to the pain, made things better. But in the midst of his pain, what happens is then he has two children. The two children that were born were named Ephraim and Manasseh. Now, those of you that I asked you to help me, I'm going to call on you in about 10 more minutes as we move to close. In the meantime, there's some other people I haven't asked prior, but I need some help. The only one that I talked to is Joshua Valentine. If Joshua would come up, please. Come here, Josh. And then I'd like Rinson, please, if you wouldn't mind helping me. Don't worry, I'm not going to embarrass you. You don't even have to say anything. It's a non-speaking part. I just need to illustrate something. And I'd like Ray, come on up. Ray, come on up here, please. Ray, when you come up, I want you to hop up here for me, right in the center. Just sit up there for a moment, would you please? Rinson and Joshua, who's older out of the two of you? Okay. Get this, switch sides with Joshua, please. We're here. Okay, let's see if you can remember this. Joseph has two sons. I don't know if you know this biblically, but how a son is named is extremely important. It was incredible what happened. It would be like this word of prophetic nature over a person. And later on, you'd look back, Monday morning quarterback it, and you go, oh my goodness, that which was proclaimed and declared over that person, they actually walked in that. So Joseph has two sons. The firstborn son is Manasseh. Do you remember what Manasseh means? You're going to have to put that up there. Manasseh means the Lord has caused me to forget. Now, lean in on this, please, because the forget doesn't mean that you've now become numb or dumb to the pain. I may be aware of that. It means from a spiritual perspective, every time you think about what has happened in your life, in your path, that which was behind you, God has put His spirit of Manasseh over that, that causes you to forget that. In the spiritual realm, there's this peace, there's this calm, there's this tranquility that whatever had taken place in you, to you, through you, around you, God is causing it to be His spirit of forgetting and forgiving is over those things. How many of you need that within even your own life? It's a first step, watch this, towards spiritual maturity. When we can embrace, rather than go, oh no, I'm just supposed to dumb it down, drive it down, bury it. I'm supposed to just kind of numb the pain, just supposed to medicate myself. No, we need to move more towards meditate than medicate. We need to think on what God wants to do. We need to resolve some of the things that have happened behind us. Manasseh, I don't know if you realize this, the M stands for Manasseh, that Manasseh needs to happen within our life first. Another way to say it is this. That forgiveness will come before, guess what his name means? The fruitfulness. And watch this. While he was in the pain, while he was in it, the Lord has made me fruitful. And Joseph, on purpose, names his children firstborn Manasseh, secondborn Ephraim. Everybody caught up so far? Now watch this. Let me give you a little bit of an inside peek. This is Jacob. Everybody say hello to Jacob. That's Jacob. Jacob knew that culturally what would take place is the firstborn would get the blessing, which meant the land, the family business, practically speaking the blessing, supernaturally, spiritually the blessing, to the tune of 2/3. In fact, if memory serves, no matter how many children you had, the firstborn was entitled to 2/3. That's a lot of splitting down the line. And I don't know if you know this, but Jacob had 12 sons. One of them was, help me, Joseph. Joseph has his own two sons. Now, Jacob calls in Joseph He calls in Joseph and he has him bring his own two boys in. Mr. Two-thirds blessing and one-third blessing. And Jacob is going to pronounce at 130 years old. You look good for 130, man. At 130 years old, he's going to pronounce a prophetic word of blessing over Joseph's two boys. So what he does is he calls them closer, and Joseph helps by putting Manasseh on his right hand, if you don't mind, come a little bit closer. And he puts Ephraim on his left hand. Yeah, go ahead and do that. That's good. That's a good photo op right there. What happens is Jacob calls in. He gets permission from his own son, Joseph. Now watch this. Jacob doesn't pronounce the blessing over his own son, which shows what God wanted to do from an aspect of future fruitfulness and ongoing sustainability of the blessing. Are y'all tracking me? God is declaring it that way. Another way to say it is, John Maxwell has this great famous quote that says that grandchildren are God's gift for not killing your own children. Jacob understood that. And so he skips over his own son. I'll pretend I'm Joseph in the story for just a moment. He skips over Joseph and he wants to proclaim a blessing down two generations to establish the blessing of the Lord in that family line. This is important. What he is saying is, I want to bless that spirit of Manasseh, that forgetfulness, that forgiveness, and I want to bless the fruitfulness that will take place. Up to this point, watch this. Up to this point, naturally speaking, in that family line, forgiveness was taking care of what was behind. Fruitfulness is taking care of what is before. Somewhere in between, Jacob decides to invert the blessing. So Joseph goes, okay, Manasseh on that side, Ephraim on this side. Right hand is the hand of blessing. Left side is the leftover, Two-thirds blessing, third, Joseph removes himself and goes, okay, Dad, bless him. Jacob is short on eyesight at this point, the scripture says. And what Jacob does is he switches his hands. You can either switch them or switch your hands, whatever you want to do. If it's more comfortable, make them move. I don't care what you do. Okay, we're going to switch that. Yeah, go ahead. Oh, Rinson's so kind. Okay, so now you have Jacob begins to proclaim a two-thirds older son inheritance blessing on who? On Ephraim instead of Manasseh. Now watch how this unfolds. In our own life, let's make this personal for a moment. In your own life, you must make the shift from that it starts out foundationally, you must resolve forgiveness so that there will be, help me, subsequently, what? Fruitfulness. But too many times we focus so much here at Manasseh, we never move in our spiritual maturity over to there. We're so concerned with what has happened. Why did it happen? We question it today. Well, God, if I could just help me understand, why did it happen to me? Why did it happen to me? How many of you know that if you knew why, you'd feel worse? We need to stop asking, watch this. We need to stop asking why of what was behind and how regarding what is before. Come on, that's tweetable, everybody. Why on what was behind and how on what is before. For Jacob is about to pronounce this incredible blessing that moves from the natural, moves from the expected to the supernatural and the unexpected to say, what used to lead the way was to forget. Now you've moved on and you have a new foundation that I want to declare your best days are your next days. There's a fruitfulness. There's an abundance unto multiplication that God wants to bring into your life, everybody. Watch what this does. The blessing is not just that one gets a little bit more. It's a double blessing. And God decides to double bless those that are the unlikeliest of candidates. So this is what takes place. It's all the meaning of it. So now help me out. Let's just solidify this for a moment. Let's just seal the moment. The first one that now gets the blessing then is who? Ephraim gets the blessing. Go ahead and put that up. Ephraim gets the blessing, the double blessing. And then secondly is Manasseh. But I need you to understand, they both get the blessing. And there are some of you, maybe you'll never move beyond the forgetting and the forgiving. Maybe you ebb and flow and you still struggle with that. And you can't kind of get out of your own way. But God is declaring, He is sending you ahead so that you will walk not just in matching, not just in transaction, not just in addition. God is wanting you to be people of the abundance, the multiplying supernatural work that only He can bring. Because you're abiding in the vine. And abiding in the vine means that you first forget and you forgive, but you've moved on to the place of supernatural provision of what God has. It's not name it and claim it. It's not say it is fast until you make it. It's not fake it until you make it. It is declaring the purposes, the principles of what God wants to bring into your life. You need to understand this. Because there are certain times, this is why some of us don't move from dream to destiny, because we are chasing down our old rather than walking in the new. We are more people about our past than the fact that it has passed, and now God is passing over to be able to bless us. He is bringing His hovering, covering presence to move us from what was behind to now what is before. And in between, He brings a supernatural blessing to shift it from natural to supernatural. Is anybody in the house with me this morning? This is what God wants to do in your life. So let's further illustrate it. You guys okay? We're going to bring some guests. Are you ready? I need all the brothers to come up here, please. Come on up. Come on up. Okay. We have Reuben. We have Simeon. We have Judah. We have Issachar. We have Dan, Gad, Naphtali. Now I think I got too many. Actually, this is good. All right, now you guys go on the other side. Go behind the microphone so we can count you. There should be 10 of you. Go ahead, all the brothers. The original guys, Ray, Josh, Rinson, stay where you are. Everybody else, come over here. Get into two lines of five for me. Luke, come here for a second. Stay with me. Do we do this right? Five? We may have one extra. Okay, good. Jamie, come here. Pete and Elvin, go on that side in the front. Does that bring 10? Okay. How many altogether were sons in this family? Everybody remember? There's 12. Okay, so we have 10. Then do you remember that Joseph doesn't get the blessing? It's through his sons, right? Everybody remember that? Okay, cousin Jamie, you're Joseph. Stand over here. This is your immediate family. See if they'll take you out for lunch. Okay. So now, I'm actually glad you came because that helps me. So now you have... That's 11 tribes, 11 brothers. Everybody still tracking? Okay, so you have 10 brothers. You have Joseph, but the blessing that God brings through Jacob, the dad, goes through the second generation, not from patriarch to son, right? Everybody remembers that, right? Okay, so then what takes place is that each one of these, they not only become blessed in and of themselves, they become indicative of a land and of a people, for they begin to comprise 12 tribes that are all the fertile places all around. So one of them gets this place that's on a hillside, and so they become this incredible nation of shepherds, and I was going to say sheep herders, of shepherds, and those that would watch out for livestock. You have others that would be in a fertile plain, and they would be people of farming. You have others that were on the shoreline, and there would be plenty. So each one gets their own place according to the blessing of Jacob. But that's only 11 that are accounted for. Then you have Levi. You are now Levi. I would love it if that stuck as a nickname, by the way. Come on up here. You come on up here too. Oh, wait, no, you don't get land. You go over here. That becomes the priestly line. Have you ever heard of Levites? They become the priestly line. They don't get any land. They get little preaching stations and outstations along the way for people to worship, but they don't get any of their land. In fact, that's a huge reason why now pastors have parsonages rather than own. It comes from that kind of line of thinking, if that makes sense. So, sorry, Levi, you don't get any land. Go play your churchy music and stay off to the side. We don't want you. Okay. How many does that leave? We still have one that hasn't been claimed. Is that correct? So watch this. So now, Manasseh, go. Even though he doesn't get the 2/3, he still gets his own place, his own tribe. Are y'all tracking me? He doesn't get the original double blessing, but God provides this double confirmation, this double bonus, that now he splits Joseph's line. Where they would have had only one claim, 8% and something, now they get a double blessing of, they get 16-17% of all of the land of the tribe. Are y'all tracking me? And that's the guy that doesn't, he gets overlooked on the big blessing. But now moving over, go ahead, Ephraim, go ahead over there. Now, Joseph's line is doubly blessed, but it's actually more than doubly blessed because one gets a double blessing, but then they also get the double blessing, and so they both have the double blessing, and they have this incredible moment that they get two out of the 12. And then the inversion comes. God is speaking into your life. Hear me. There are certain places in your life you might never move from Manasseh to Ephraim in your life, and God still wants to bless your life. He still wants to give you a footing and an opportunity. Even if you never can get out of your own way, even if you never can move from where God really wants you to be to where He wants you to actually ultimately be, even if you never see the fullness, He still wants you to live a blessed life. But then He also says, but if those of you, if you'll be faithful, if you're people of the promise, people that would trust that God is a God not just of addition but of multiplication, He doesn't want to just go, if you give me your life, I'll exchange it. But if you will recognize that He longs to pour out with extravagance, with brilliance, with abundance over your life, He longs for you to taste and see that He is good. That you'll know that He is sweet, not sour. That He is better, not bitter. That when you understand the fullness of who He is into your life, He wants to bring a supernatural blessing, not just a natural one that makes sense. You don't need to how it anymore. He is already dictating and preparing the way and declaring His provision over your life. Let's do it one more way. Help me. The next slide. So previously, the priority of forgiveness would be sent behind. Now, currently and moving forward, the priority of fruitfulness would be sent ahead. You are the sent ahead ones. So stay there for a moment, would you please? You're so good. God is speaking into your life that one of the greatest ways to find abundance and fulfillment is that you would share your own faith. You'd share your own story in the same way that Chris shared his story. So you can't, Chris couldn't have arrived at, you know, listen, I just want to tell you, you know, how God's been good to me. He needed to be able to own the fact that 9 years ago there wasn't a faithfulness within his life. And God, by His mercy, did something to move him from lack. He said, and now I'm not lacking for anything. Come on, are you with me? But you got to own your part of the story, whether you did it or was imposed upon you. The lack, the difficulty that's there, when you begin to own it, it becomes part of your story. And others will take notice of how when God showed up in your pain, not because you were perfect, but in your pain, how you went through it. Then you will be the sent ahead ones to help other people to see, to know, to taste and see that He can be good for them if He was good for you. So as we move into this Christmas season, you guys can have a seat. Everybody, thank them, would you please? Let me conclude. As I close, this is important, I think. Go ahead, keep going. You can come right behind me, that's fine. I'll do it this way. I'm going to tell it in inverted order of how I closed the first service. In spiritual circles, in churchy circles, we are commended and commanded to be evangelists. You know what that means? To say, to tell, to share the good news of Jesus, right? So let's do it this way. How many of you, you know some people, their friends, family, maybe it's some people you don't even like, but you know they're far from God, and God's using you. How many of you have some people in your life like that? There's far from God. Chris used that term earlier. I love that term, that are far from God. Doesn't mean they're hopeless causes. They're causes for hope. It means they haven't tasted like you have. And in this Christmas season, God wants to use you to leverage your influences to invest and to invite. So some of you are probably like me, and you're going, yeah, but I don't have the gift of evangelism. I don't have a gift to share, a gift to witness. Pastor Scott, if you knew my temperament, I'm an introvert. So am I. I don't know if you, those of you that don't know me, I'm an extreme introvert. It freaks me out to have the microphone every week, but I know it's what I'm called to do. And I get more scared to talk to Jesus one-on-one than in front of all of you. How many of you are kind of wired that way? You can always kind of hide behind. And so for years and years, I don't even teach it in spiritual gifts class. And I go, I don't have the gift of evangelism. I have a gift to share. Like if I, there are some people like you could start talking about yogurt and in 30 seconds they're talking about Jesus. They have that ability. It scares them. I'm afraid I'm going to lose a friend. I'm going to lose reputation. I'm afraid I'm going to push them rather than pull. Come on, anybody wired like that? I'm like, maybe I should just be quiet and just pray them in. Just pray them in. And if they come, I'll try to preach them in. But I'm realizing more and more that in my own life, the only way I will actually cross over in my own life from a spirit of Manasseh to a spirit of Ephraim in my own life is to share the abundance that only God could have rendered into my own life. Are y'all with me? And in fact, I dare say it this way, I'm going to step on most, if everyone's toes at this point. If we are reluctant to share, we explain it away and we blame shift and go, yeah, it's not the right time. And everything's not good in my own life. And I don't think that's where the conversation should go over coffee. And man, I know they're in trouble, but is it too over the top to say I'm praying for them? And things aren't perfect in my own life. And what if they begin to, you know, go, well, your marriage isn't great. And you don't raise your kids. What if? Dare I say that if you're reluctant to share your faith, thinking God won't empower you, won't give you the compassion, the faith to step into those seasons, those moments, dare I say that in our own lives, and we'll never move from a spirit of Manasseh to Ephraim. Because you see, if you're faithful over a little, he'll make you faithful over much. And if we just pride ourselves on our own salvation and we go, well, I'm glad I'm in. Hope they'll figure out and find their own way back to God. I don't want to risk. Then we have put a ceiling on what God can do to bring his own blessing to our lives and through our lives. Does that make sense to anybody in the house? Let's do it one more way. Did y'all take my letters? No, they're right here. Naturally, what came first? Help me. Let's seal this. Manasseh. Secondborn was, help me, Ephraim. This is the way we still naturally look at things. It's about me. Not like me, like all of us, me. Still make it about me. That's natural. It doesn't mean you're awful. It doesn't mean you're wicked. It's just you're still natural. But when God brings his supernatural, he shifts it. And it's about go get him. Go get him. Bring him and compel him to come in. Come on. Jesus' spirit is, I'll leave the 99 to get the one. Go get him. And if we don't make that shift, we go back and go, it must have been me that did it. About me. I'm the center of the story. It's about me. The divine shift, the supernatural shift goes, no, it's go get them. Come on, in the same way that you know your life is forever changed, that at some point you'll walk in the ultimate dream to destiny because of him, not because of me. Then let's go get them. I have four that I'm praying for. There's 12 on my list, and there are four specifically. I believe this is going to be their time. This is going to be their season. I'm going through past the fact that I'm an introvert. I'm going past the point that maybe I have a gift of evangelism, maybe I don't. Rather than asking people to always come here, I need to go. I need to go there. And for some of you, if you invest in your relationships with people, you can either invite them to come here or right in those moments, you know, right now I need to invite them to find Jesus Christ because as I found him, he made all the difference. Come on, some of you need to begin to just pray for your hit list. I'll let you in on a little secret. A couple months ago, somebody I've been praying for the last year, I'd asked for permission to kind of pursue them on letting them know what was going on with church stuff. We kept relationship. I helped them with a couple different things. In the last couple of months, he has started coming to church and has given his heart to the Lord. Man, you know what that did for my own confidence? Because I feel good about if people come here. I can blow through my introverted nature and go, okay, but this is the time. If I have to leverage it, I will. God, you need to help me to be able to make that happen. Empower me. But when I go out like where you guys all are, sometimes it freaks me out in the real world. And that's where you're living. And so I get it that some of you are just like freaking you out. But I dare you to make the shift from it's all about me to it's all about go get them. Go get them. for the glory of God. You see, the reason you didn't go right to heaven when you accepted Christ is because He wanted heaven to come to earth through you. And heaven to come to earth through you. So come on, how many of you are believing for some people during this Christmas season that now could be their moment? Come on. We're all across this place. Would you just stand? We're going to build an altar right where you are. Come on, some of you are still waiting. You're in between the behind and the before. You're in between. And God is longing for you in the midst of where you are. The tension of it's still undone. And the tension of the moment. God still is longing to use you to be His hands, His feet, and His voice for others to taste and see that He's good. What do you think this morning, everybody? What do you think? Come on, let's just begin to lift our hands to Him. Come on, begin to just lift up the name of that person. Come on. In fact, take it one step further. You can stay where you are, but how many of you received an invite card on the way in? How many know that card wasn't for you? It was for you to give it away. You can be slick about it and just pretend it dropped out of your pocket, or you can have a conversation about it. But we believe that our services through December are going to help people to find and follow Jesus Christ. Oh, come on, compel them to come in. Invest in those relationships. Invite them to church. Invite them to Christ. Come on. Come on, do you want to see heaven expand? Come on, do you want to see heaven grow? Come on, do you want to see heaven be full? Come on. Come on, let's begin to sing this over the people that are far from God. Sing this over our lives as our prayer this morning. Come on.